This podcast is made possible by thousands of dedicated listeners just like you. Be a part of this powerful three-decade legacy of evangelization by visiting materdeiradio.com or downloading the Hail Mary media app. And thank you for joining us on the bridge between your faith and everyday life.
In the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, verse 12, it says, "Indeed, the word of God is living and effective, sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating even between soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and able to discern reflections and thoughts of the heart." Yes, the word of God is living and effective today in my life and in yours. And that's the very reason why I'm offering this weekly podcast where I reflect upon the liturgical scripture readings for the Sunday Mass. So now, please join me on Faith Moments with Dina Marie as we break open the Word of God together, inviting His Word to change our lives forever. Greetings and welcome to Faith Moments, a weekly podcast where we proclaim and ponder our Sunday Mass readings. This is the 17th Sunday in Ordinary Time for 2025. It is July 27th. And welcome those of you who may be new to this podcast, or if you're watching on the YouTube channel, it's great to have you joining us. You can always find this Faith Moments podcast on the Hail Mary media app, which is designed through the Catholic radio station called Mater Dei Radio, housed in Portland, Oregon. So I hope that you download that app. It's free, and there's a lot of wonderful Catholic programming that's available 24/7 right at your fingertips. Well, we continue with the Gospel of Luke. In fact, over the last couple of weeks, if you remember, sometimes you get caught, at least we did last Sunday, where the priest will say, "Do you remember what last Sunday's gospel reading was?" And, you know, you're scratching your head. So last Sunday, we heard the story of Martha and Mary. And then the Sunday before, we heard the story of the Good Samaritan. You can just say those few words, and then you can recount kind of that part of the gospel message. And then it's an invitation to go deeper into that particular scripture. But we are unpacking the Gospel of Luke right now. And so as we prepare to hear these words from Genesis, from Luke, also from St. Paul, I want to open with this prayer. Let us pray. O God of all that lives, you breathed into our dead humanity of life, of the Spirit, through the dying and rising of Christ your Son. Awaken us now to the fullness of life, for which we offer you thanks and praise, through the same Christ, our Lord. Amen. Again, it's the 17th Sunday in Ordinary Time, and I always invite you to listen to the Collect Prayer. I sometimes have a hard time hearing the Collect Prayer at Mass. There's so much going on, and we're still trying to settle ourselves in. So I invite you to get, I'm using the Magnificat. Many of our missals will have the Collect Prayer available for you to pray ahead of time. So just listen as we hear this opening prayer for the 17th Sunday in Ordinary Time. O God, protector of those who hope in you, without whom nothing has firm foundation, nothing is holy, bestow in abundance your mercy upon us, and grant that with you as our ruler and guide, we may use the good things that pass in such a way as to hold fast even now to those that ever endure. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever. Amen. A reading from the book of Genesis. In those days, the Lord said, "The outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is so great, and their sin so grave, that I must go down and see whether or not their actions fully correspond to the cry against them that comes to me. I mean to find out." While Abraham's visitors walked on farther toward Sodom, the Lord remained standing before Abraham. Then Abraham drew nearer and said, "Will you sweep away the innocent with the guilty?
Suppose there were 50 innocent people in the city. Would you wipe out the place rather than spare it for the sake of the 50 innocent people within it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to make the innocent die with the guilty, so that the innocent and the guilty would be treated alike. Should not the judge of all the world act with justice? The Lord replied, If I find 50 innocent people in the city of Sodom, I will spare the whole place for their sake. Abraham spoke up again. See how I am presuming to speak to my Lord, though I am but dust and ashes. What if there are 5 less than 50 innocent people? Will you destroy the whole city because of those 5? He answered, I will not destroy it if I find 45 there. But Abraham persisted, saying, What if only 40 are found there? He replied, I will forbear doing it for the sake of the 40. Then Abraham said, Let not my Lord grow impatient if I go on. What if only 30 are found there? He replied, I will forbear doing it if I can find but 30 there. Still Abraham went on, Since I have thus dared to speak to my Lord, what if there are no more than 20? The Lord answered, I will not destroy it for the sake of the 20. But he still persisted, Please, let not my Lord grow angry if I speak up this last time. What if there are at least 10 there? He replied, For the sake of those 10, I will not destroy it. The word of the Lord. Lord, on the day I called for help, you answered me. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, with all my heart, for you have heard the words of my mouth. In the presence of the angels, I will sing your praise. I will worship at your holy temple and give thanks to your name. Lord, on the day I called for help, you answered me. Because of your kindness and your truth, for you have made great above all things, your name and your promise. When I called, you answered me. You built up strength within me. Lord, on the day I called for help, you answered me. The Lord is exalted, yet the lowly he sees, and the proud he knows from afar. Though I walk amid distress, you preserve me. Against the anger of my enemies, you raise your hand. Lord, on the day I called for help, you answered me. Your right hand saves me. The Lord will complete what he has done for me. Your kindness, O Lord, endures forever. Forsake not the work of your hands. Lord, on the day I called for help, you answered me. A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Colossians. Brothers and sisters, you were buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the power of God, who raised him from the dead. And even when you were dead in transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he brought you to life along with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions, obliterating the bond against us with its legal claims, which was opposed to us. He also removed it from our midst, nailing it to the cross. The word of the Lord. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. He said to them, When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone in debt to us, and do not subject us to the final test. And he said to them, Suppose one of you has a friend to whom he goes at midnight and says, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived at my house from a journey, and I have nothing to offer him." And he says in reply from within, "Do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children and I are already in bed. I cannot get up to give you anything." I tell you, if he does not get up to give the visitor the loaves because of their friendship, he will get up to give him whatever he needs because of his persistence. And I tell you, ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. What father among you would hand his son a snake when he asks for a fish, or hand him a scorpion when he asks for an egg? If you then, who are wicked, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, typically I look at these readings, and after reading them and pondering a bit, I pick up maybe a statement, a thought. And I had a few that came to me, but one of them is, my children ask. My children ask. There's this conversation going on between the children of God, Abraham, and the disciples, and the Lord, and God Almighty, in the form of prayer, in the form of activity. As we go to the book of Genesis, and there's this whole chapter of Genesis chapter 18 that is this encounter of Abraham with the Lord. Abraham, what did we have? Abraham and Sarah feeding the visitors that in a way can symbol or signify the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We have these three mysterious visitors who come at the heat of the day to visit Abraham. Abraham provides hospitality. We heard this last week in the story of Abraham, and he and Sarah quickly do much to prepare a great feast for these three visitors. And yet the visitors continue to go on a mission, and they're going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And so here we get this conversation of the children of God, of Abraham, at least, who's being invited into God's family. God is giving Abraham this promise, and God is continuing on this conversation, this relationship with Abraham, in some ways, for Abraham to see who God is. God is the source of all things. God gives us promises of new life, of fulfillment in life, not only for Abraham, but Abraham is hearing for his future generations, for the nations, this promise of a good gift. And yet Abraham recognizes, for example, in Sodom and Gomorrah, I'm not going to tell you the story, you read it yourself, but it is an awful offense to humanity that Sodom and Gomorrah are living out in their sexual impurities and their violation of morality to the till. They are awful in their treatment of one another. It's awful. Abraham knows this, and he's trying to seek some sort of justice and kind of trying to bargain with the Lord, asking, you know, for justice and mercy. And justice and mercy will be meted out. We read that Lot, one of the relations of Abraham, and eventually his two daughters will be spared from this judgment, from this justice. But we hear Abraham having a conversation with God, this dialogue, this asking for. And so we are also invited to ask God, to have a conversation with God. And I want to go right into the gospel according to Luke. The first three words in this gospel reading, we think about this conversation of Abraham, this dialogue. Jesus was praying. Who starts every conversation? Who starts every prayer? God. God is the first initiator. We may think I am praying to God, but always God begins in the heart. God is seeking us. God is searching for us. God is desiring us. God is calling out to us. And the disciples, if we can imagine this particular scene, a little visual image, we see that Jesus is praying. Maybe he's on the top of a hill. We hear Jesus many times going to a quiet place to pray, to have quiet time with his Father. And the disciples must be watching him. You know, can you imagine them maybe a few feet, maybe several feet away, maybe at around a campfire? And they're all still just wondering, who is this Jesus? They're watching him. They don't want to disturb him in his prayer. And we know Jesus is praying in the Spirit to the Father. You know, in Jesus praying, we have the Trinity. Lord, teach us to pray. Here, imagine a child. Imagine a young child watching their father. Imagine Jesus watching Joseph in the carpentry shop. He's watching him, just observing all that he's doing, wanting to be like him. I want to be like my father. I want to be like my mother. This is the heart of a child. They want to take on the attributes of those that they're looking up to, those that are caring for them, their grandparents. You know, they look maybe sitting in the lap of a grandmother praying the rosary, and that little child just looking up. Teach me like what you're doing. This is the heart of a child. My children, ask. Ask what it is to be in the divine will. Ask what it is to be in the kingdom of God. Ask what it is to be happy. Ask what it is to be joyful, true joy, not from the world, not from the flesh, and definitely not from the devil. Ask what it is to truly be whole, to truly be holy. And so the disciples are curious. Their hearts are burning. They have this desire for more that the world cannot give them, for what Jesus can give them, true life, true life. And so Jesus is giving them a very simple prayer. We have a little bit different version that we pray today in our Mass, in our Father prayer, but the basics are here, right? Father, we're giving Father a recognition. Hallowed be, glory be your name, holy be your name. Who is our Father? Holy. His kingdom. We pray for his kingdom to come. We pray for God's kingdom, not the world's kingdom. This worldly kingdom is temporary. It's going in a flash. It will go away. Everything physical in this world, all the riches that I accumulate, all the degrees that I can earn, all of the acknowledgement and recognition and praise that I can get for what I do, what I accomplish, go away. But God's kingdom come. God's kingdom is eternal. The disciples, three things to pray for: bread, you know, this daily sustenance. Give us daily sustenance. I think of that as the Holy Eucharist, my food for the journey. And we pray for forgiveness. We must go to prayer recognizing our sins. Where do we need forgiveness? Where do I need to say, I'm sorry? Where have I offended another person? Where have I offended myself? When have I offended God? In my actions, in my thoughts, in my words, in what I've done, or what I have failed to do? Forgive us. And do not subject us to the final test. Lead us from temptation. Lead us away from evil so that I am not falling into the lures of the world, the flesh, and the devil. And so Jesus teaches his disciples. I was taking the advice of one of our teachers in our recent summer institute, Our Lady of Peace, and Sister Joanna Parukh was talking about the catechism, and the catechism is her friend, and the catechism should be your friend, and the Bible and the catechism together should be those two components of how to get deeper into the heart of Christ. But if you look at the catechism, and it, there are so many different kind of glossaries in the back, and one of them is it'll have every single book of the Bible. And then within those books of the Bible, you can see different references to the catechism and different paragraphs. So I just looked at Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 13. Now, there were more verses or paragraphs of the catechism that I could look up, but I just looked up a couple, like the Catechism of the Catholic Church, paragraph 520. Through his or through Jesus' prayer, Jesus draws us to pray. That's in the catechism. Jesus was praying. And with Jesus's example of prayer, the disciples are now called to pray. They want to know, how do we pray? The children learn to pray to the Father. Our Father, hallowed be your name. And by prayer, catechism paragraph 2632, by prayer, every baptized person works for the coming of the kingdom. It just, by going into the catechism, it helps us go deeper into the scriptures and vice versa. The Spirit teaches the church, recalling for her all Jesus said. The Holy Spirit forms the church in the life of prayer. And that just takes us to the end of what Jesus is explaining. How much more will the Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask for him? So if we're asking for a gift, the greatest gift we can receive is the gift of the Holy Spirit. And this is what God wants to give us. God wants to give us the Holy Spirit so we can better know him, know the gifts that he has given us, know the gift of eternal life. And when we pray, we may pray using words, but God looks at the prayer of the heart. See, prayer begins in God's heart. Prayer begins in his heart, seeking a relationship with our heart. And so when we pray, let's not necessarily use words. We can use them to help us maybe form that conversation, but it is in the heart that Jesus sees what we are looking for. I want to close with this reflection from John Paul II, Pope St. John Paul II. And he reflects on this prayer that we hear from Jesus. And John Paul says this, what does praying mean? Prayer means feeling one's own insufficiency through the various necessities which man has to face, necessities that are part of life. The need for bread is in a way a symbol of all material necessities, the necessities of the human body, the necessities of this existence, which springs from the fact that man is a body. But the range of these necessities is wider. We need to realize our limitations before we can appreciate how much we depend on our Father God. And so let us remember how much we need to depend on our Heavenly Father, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. God be with you.
You have been listening to Faith Moments with Dina Marie, reflections upon the liturgical scripture readings for the Sunday Mass. New podcast episodes are released weekly through the generous support of Mater Dei Radio. To learn more about Faith Moments with Dina Marie, visit me online at dinamarie.org. That's dinamarie.org. May you have a blessed week.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please consider sharing it with a friend. You can support this vital mission of evangelization through materdeiradio.com or the Hail Mary Media app. And thank you for helping us lead souls to Jesus through the Blessed Virgin Mary.